Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
I have a tough show today.
Okay. I have coffee.
You're going to need it. Okay. So let's make up names. Let's start. The client is Lavanya.
Okay.
Lav? No, pardon me. I got this backwards. Way to start a show. Romani.
You're okay. You're naming the client Romani.
Romani is the client.
Named after her favorite psychologist.
Yes. That's true. And we're just going to call her Rom. And the person that she asks for in the session, and this is a medium session, she asks me if I can connect to her sister, and her sister's name is, and made up again, Lavanya, and we're going to call her Lav.
I think it's hilarious that you have named them yourself, and yes. Then you feel so affectionate about your stories that you've also bothered to affectionately shorten their name.
Yes.
Like you have a full-on relationship with them. We're on a first name nickname basis.
Hey, I think we're past 450 episodes. Mm-hmm. All I can say is that, you know, you got to go with the flow, right?
Rom and Lav. Let's go.
Rom and Lav. So Rom is sitting in front of me and she says, can you connect to my sister Lav? And I said, yep, let's see what happens. Lav says, I'm going to give you some facts first so that Rom can feel that I'm here and that you can both be assured that I'm fully present. And she begins and she says, she's currently married. She has 4 children. And I said, okay. So I asked Rom that and she said, yes. And I said, she's just giving facts, Rom, because we want to make sure that we've got her, right? And she goes, oh yeah, okay, good. I understand what you're doing. She says, go ahead and I'll just keep validating for you. So then Lav continues and she says, both of our parents are still alive, correct? And she says, both of them are independent and healthy. Correct. And she says, I want to talk a little bit about Rom's upbringing and not by her parents. She says, in terms of education. She goes, this woman has worked her butt off to get educated, to have 4 kids, to run her home, to move up in the corporate world.
Also, I love that you incorporated she's worked her butt off with knowledge to raise 4 kids.
Yeah.
Because I think that would have been left out for a lot of people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Discounted how much knowledge that requires.
Oh my God. Yeah, absolutely. So Lav goes through different aspects of Rom's life and says this is how hard she's worked to do these things. To be a partner, to be a mom, to be all of these different roles that she's got, plus the education as well for corporate in order to move up, to be management, to be a supervisor, to be like to get into all of these positions. And she says, so she's worked damn hard. And she says, it's really important that I acknowledge this because it's a huge part of her life, of course, because that takes up so much energy. Not just time, but her energy, her commitment to things, the decisions about whether I'm playing with the kids or I'm studying. I'm taking time to be with my husband or I'm writing a paper. And she says she literally struggled with every single one of those decisions because of how much she values family, how much she valued marriage, how much she values all of these things in life, taking care of her parents. She puts so much value into all of these relationships. It's extraordinary. Perfect. So I say all of this to Rom and she's like, yeah. And you can just see in her like, wow, like she's nailed it. But not just she's nailed it for accuracy. She sees me. Mm-hmm. And Karen's getting to see me because Lav's telling Karen about me. Mm-hmm. So I've got 2 people that really see me. And so I said, hey, is all of this information correct? And she goes, yes, it is. And you can see how pleased, how happy she is about it. And then Lav says, okay, she says, now corporate knows how much time and effort she's put because she started with very little of this education. So they've watched her go to school, do all of these things, work for the job, work for the job, work for the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
For them. And what they did was they purposely withheld the promotions.
Mm-hmm.
They purposely withheld and gave other people the positions she was qualified to get. And they made her go to them and stand up to them and say, how come Barb got, of course, I'm, you know,
yeah,
not, but it's not really a Barb, I'm just changing names, but how come Barb or Joe got this position and not me? And so corporate played the game of, well, we see that you took the course, but you don't have the practical yet. And so they played the game of making her work harder and harder and harder so that as they asked her to do things that were abusive towards her staff, she'd be stuck. So you're working hard to get this position and we're not quite going to give it to you. You have to have the expertise of and the day-to-day of the job, the practical. But the practical is going to mean that we ask you to do the following things and we want you to treat your staff this way. And I thought, my goodness, I hope she's going to be able to validate that because that might be hard to see in herself. And so I say this to Rom and she sits there and she looks at me and she goes, are you sure Lav is telling me that? And I said, yes. I said, she's pointing out that it's a fact that when you applied for promotions, you haven't, you didn't get them easily. And she goes, that's true. Like this. And I said, so are you just disputing that you think that corporate purposely withheld them from you? And she goes, no, I see what Lav is doing. She goes, my sister is smart. She goes, I know what she's doing. She's bringing to my attention how I've been treated. And I said, yeah. And I said, and she's saying that deep down, you are very intuitive. The way you were raised was to be intuitive. The way you were raised was to be logical. The way you were all raised was to see these things. And she goes, yes. That is exactly how both my parents have raised all of their children. And she said, and you're describing my sister Lav and my other siblings to a T. And she says, and you're describing part of me to a T. And I think I get what my sister's doing. And she goes, and then you could see in her, Kelly, like just in the way like that her facial expressions, you could see her like wanting to cry, like,
mm-hmm.
like, the breaking of the grooming that corporate had been doing and shutting her down slowly with each of these discussions. And she says, what else does Lav want to tell me? Like this. She goes, I have a feeling today's session is not at all what I thought it was going to be. And she says, I'm struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you need a minute? And she goes, I do. She says, I need silence. Thank you very much for giving it to me. Actually, I'm willing to sit here and pay you for silence right now. She says, I need a moment. So then I say to Lav, what's going on? And she goes, oh, she's just letting it sink in as to how much she's been groomed. You used the word groomed. And it was a word that my parents used all the time to say, the schools will groom you. The religions will groom you. You have to be aware of the grooming. You have to be conscious of what people are saying. You have to be able to keep your own personality and your own morals and your own values and your own ethics. They will steal them. Society will steal these things from you. So it's our job as your parents to make sure that you know these things. That's our job as parents, is to teach them and show you how to live them and to give you the family unit for it. And now Rom is sitting there going, oh Lord, if I've been sucked down this hole with corporate and it's been groomed out of me the way my parents said it would be, and I'm not seeing it, my parents are seeing that I've changed. And therefore, if they're seeing that I've changed, I know my parents. They've questioned me about the change. They've challenged me. And I won't accept the challenge. Mm-hmm. I'm shutting my parents down. This must be destroying my parents.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, this is what's going through her head. She goes, you just sit there because it's going to come out of her mouth in a minute. I know my sister. I know my parents. And I know my brothers and sisters. I know this family. She says, I know what Rama's going through. This is destroying her right now. And she says, and she's sitting in this session asking for me on a subconscious level, knowing that she needs to hear this and that there's no other way I would show up with just facts and tell her how great she is and tell her signs that I'm a butterfly when there's damn serious work to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, we are not a family, no disrespect, Karen. We are not a family to show up and say we're the blue butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
We are the family to show up to say, what the hell is going on? Because we care and we get to the bottom of something. So I sat in silence with Ram until she decided to speak up. And the whole time, Kelly, my heart broke because I could just see in her facial expressions, her body, her shoulders, I could just see everything that she was going through. And then, of course, I've got Lav sitting beside me telling me exactly what she's going through and what kind of family she's got.
Well, it's interesting. So far you have not, and nor has Ram, mentioned the word disappointed, which I think is really cool. Because if her parents are raising her with this kind of conscientiousness and integrity, while there's an element of feeling disappointment because your heart broke for your kid, they're not projecting disappointment on her. They're creating a safe space for her to figure out this grooming on her own. They've gently given the challenge, but Rob's going to come to it in her own time, right? And Lav's saying, yeah, we're just going to fast forward this. It's kind of like I'm doing right now. Is that good?
Yes.
Okay. I love it. And I think it's really cool because as Ram is grieving this, it doesn't sound like it's going to be a shame situation for her because it doesn't sound like she was raised in that. Her heart is genuinely breaking because she knows that this would break her parents' heart. Not that she's caused them disappointment, but that it would hurt them so much to know that she's been enduring this. And her heartbreak is also her parents' heartbreak. Yes?
With a bow.
Thanks.
Just with a bow, Kelly.
I think it's cool because she could have chosen to go in defense mechanisms at that point. And, well, I mean, she's been defending her corporate self to her parents, right? And now she's going, oh, no, I have a really healthy choice point to make here. And I want to acknowledge what my parents must be going through. Then I can grieve what I've gone through. Like, it's beautiful.
You said it. She's been defending her corporate self.
Yeah.
You said that is the gold line in this show.
Yeah, it's a self-preservation mechanism. It makes sense. If that's what's been earning her income, she's got four children, she's got money to make. There's a legitimate fear happening. So the defense makes sense, even though it's going against what she's been raised to understand and know.
Yes.
And I hope people hear that compassion that hopefully she's also having for herself, right? Because you can feel stupid, you can feel humiliated, you can feel like I am educated, how did I not see it, right? Like we're all going to go through those kind of self-flagellating moments. And then we've ultimately got to come to the compassion of, okay, I also had responsibilities I wanted to believe in or have faith in these systems, and now I'm learning I can't.
I'm just letting everybody breathe.
Okay.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's necessary for us to actually pause in the show right now and actually coach people to take a breath. Inhale. And exhale. Because I think so many people are going to be able to listen to this and go, that's me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm corporate.
Mm-hmm.
And I am corporate.
Yeah. And guys, corporate does not mean you're in a suit. Corporate can mean that you're in a Tim Hortons uniform.
Yep.
Corporate can mean that you are a teacher in a school.
Yeah.
Right? It can mean all kinds of things. It means that there is a system above you that has control over you.
That's right. You could be low-level management, middle management, higher management, shareholder, stockholder. Mm-hmm. Like, you can be supervised. Like, you can be so many different places and listen to this. You could be the coworker at the very bottom of the scale, and a brand new hire comes in, and it's the way that you teach that you mentor the brand new hire. Mm-hmm. This is for every person in every level. And some people think, oh, no, there are no levels here, but there are always levels. And so I'm sitting and I'm watching and I'm just holding beautiful, non-judgmental space with no shame for Rom to sit in it. And so I'm very careful about my own body language, about my own eyes, the way I'm looking at her, absolutely everything. And all of the powers that I am as an energy healer with all of my licenses, I am holding and sending energy to this beautiful client who needs it. Mm-hmm. And I'm just sitting there letting her have her time and space. And when she chooses to come back to the conversation, she will lead the conversation. So I know that I do not begin the conversation. I know that it is on Rom to do it. And eventually she comes in and she goes, okay, this is a lot to process. And she goes, in so many ways and in so many levels, can you please tell Lav I love her and that I needed this more than anything and that I trust more than anything who she is and who this family is. And she says, I now know I have a lot of work to do. She goes, in a different area. With my parents, I need to go back and say some things and be who I know I can be, mm-hmm. and who I have been in the past. And then Lav says to me, can you talk to her about her marriage? And she says, I love my brother-in-law. She picked a hell of a beautiful man. And the corporate life is totally destroying the way that she speaks to him, mm. because she is forgetting who he is. She is coming in the door and she thinks that she leaves corporate at work, but she does not. She speaks to him in a tone of voice that is corporate. She speaks to the children in the same tone of voice. She is now speaking to her girlfriends in it. She is speaking to the kids' teachers in it. She is behaving and thinking that she is corporate in every aspect of her life now, but she thinks she's left corporate at work and that she has it all, quote unquote, under control. And she says she needs to know she has nothing under control, nothing at all, even though she is 100% convinced that she does. Mm-hmm. But again, that's just her way of defending herself because she doesn't want to have to see that that isn't the truth. She doesn't want to actually have to deal with the way that management is instructing her to bully staff, mm-hmm. by saying, we have goals, we have quarters, we have achievements to get, we have priorities. There's a whole language around targets. Mm-hmm. And all of this language is pardon me, Kelly, I want to word it in the best way that I can. I can't remember exactly how it was worded in the session.
You've used a lot of corporate buzzwords. It's fine.
I'm purposely trying to say that all those buzzwords are all under the guise of the bully. Mm-hmm. So we're going to bully, but we're going to say target. We're going to bully, but we're going to say we have a goal. Mm-hmm. We're going to say we have certain, you know, profits that we have to make and dividends and pays and all of these things, but they're all being used under bullying. Mm-hmm. And so Lav says, I want you to throw out all those buzzwords and I want her to understand that what the establishment is doing, and the establishment can be government, it can be private industry, it can be chains, it can be anything. They're all using terms that look businessy or government-y, but are bullying, period. And I just want her to be aware of that because she's so good with language. She's so, so particular about language. And she's let that go. She's let it all go. And so here comes Patricia Evans. And I'm just going to say, with her cape on, and Beverly and Jell with her cape on, meaning that Lav then sits down and says to her sister, Rom, you need to know the 15 forms of verbal abuse. You need to become like really in tune with what Patricia Evans is teaching, because the people above you are using the forms of verbal abuse, and then you're turning around and you're using them, but you're saying that it's business talk when it's not. It's not business talk, it's verbal abuse. And you need to know what they are, but you're never going to fully understand what they are, because corporate is going to use their terminology to brainwash you and to gaslight you. So you need to know the 15 forms of verbal abuse to be able to go back to corporate and say, no, that's called being dismissive. No, that's called when you say the person doesn't have the right to being with their family, you're dismissing what they're saying. That's a form of verbal abuse. And then when you change the subject, that's called diverting. And when you, and as I'm saying this to Rom, you see a completely like way that her body changes, the way she sits up, and it's like, what? She's giving me the tools like this. And I said, oh yeah. I said, she's going to hand you tools today. And she goes, I booked an appointment with a psychic medium and I'm getting tools. What the hell? Mm-hmm. She goes, I did not expect this. And she goes, go on. Who else did you say? I'm writing it down. And now I can see Rom is writing everything. But I also see that she's recording it too, right? And she says, who was the other lady with the cape? And I said, oh, one of my favorite. I said, Beverly and Jell. I said, these women wear capes. And she goes, well, what kind of a cape is she wearing? And I said, well, it's people-pleasing. And she goes, I'm not a people-pleaser, Karen.
Were you present for the first half of the session, Rom?
But isn't that interesting right there to see how well corporate government have gaslit her into believing that she's not a people-pleaser because she's a bully?
Well, she also didn't think she was a bully, so.
Exactly.
I also think many, many people don't understand that people-pleasing is a form of bullying.
Yes. Bingo. And that you can be people pleasing the people above you and then turn around and bully the people underneath you, mm-hmm, and believe that you are good leadership, mm-hmm, instead of going, oh my God, I'm a combination people pleaser, bully. Mm-hmm. And it just depends on who you are in your defense mechanisms or your shame to be able to see which one of you are. Mm-hmm. And so Lav is pointing this out, going, she's both a people pleaser and a bully. And in 5 minutes, she can be both people. Mm-hmm. That's how quickly she changes. So her staff are terrified of her because she can change that fast. And the people above her love that skill set, mm-hmm, and admire it in her. They think it's beautiful that she can be a people pleaser because she's people pleasing them, and a bully because she's bullying their staff. And they don't have to do it directly. She's doing it for them. So she's just an instrument. And so Lav says, this is disgusting. And it is something that is abhorrent to our parents and to all of her siblings. But none of them want to judge her or shame her, because we understand how hard she has worked, the education that she's trying to get, how hard she's trying to provide for her family and for herself, and where she thinks that she's showing up to partner her partner, because she's showing up financially, because isn't she supposed to now? And she's supposed to be a leader and show her parents, or her children, pardon me, that women can be successful. So isn't she showing her children that she's a success and a mom and a partner? Isn't she doing a good job? And inside, her intuition is screaming at her that it's all wrong. Mm-hmm.
I want to note, too, that as Lav said, this is abhorrent, okay?
Yes.
They're judging the behavior.
Yes.
And there is nothing wrong with accurately labeling behavior.
Yeah.
That's not the same thing as making a judgment on the person.
Correct.
And this is where shame doesn't have to sit here, right? Because it's like, okay, behavior and who I am are two different things, right? I can choose to correct the behavior and know that I am still a good person, right? When we start to internalize our behavior as who we are, that's when we get really stuck, right? And change becomes very difficult because we can't separate out behavior from the person.
Yes, thank you, Kelly. Yeah. So Ram sits in front of me after Lav gets to say all of this to her sister, and you get to really see here where there is a conversation occurring. It is not, can you prove it to me that you're a medium? Can you give me validations? Ram is getting all of her validations through Lav's discussion. It's through the conversation. It's not the brown hair, the blue eyes.
Well, she did that in the beginning.
Yes.
To lay a foundation of accuracy.
Yes. But she totally lets all of that go to actually have a conversation and create a connection to Ram, that Ram is like, oh my God, I've got my sister and I'm actually deeply listening. And she's listening to her dead sister, where she's having difficulty listening to two alive parents and the rest of her alive siblings. And where they are all trying to hold space for her to come to this without shame. And now Lav steps in, I think, most beautifully to be able to say, okay, I'm the one that's going to have the hard conversation then. I'm happy to have it. And I'm happy to bring it with love and facts and accuracy and validations, meaning this is actually what's going on in your life, and remind you without shame of who you are. Down to the virtues of who you are, those qualities, the beliefs in how you're supposed to actually treat people and who you are deeply at your core. And then let's Ram decide, who do you want to be? At no point during that session did Lav say to her, so what are you going to do? Or, hey, you should, or you know better, or you, here's your plan, this is what you need to do. She simply says to her, here are some books, The Nice Girl Syndrome by Beverly and Jell, The Verbally Abusive Relationship by Patricia Evans, and you go and you do what you will with your life.
Okay. I'm going to plug life coaching here for a second.
Yes,
go. Because so many times in the reels that we're doing on Instagram, people are like, why did you give up channeling to go to life coaching? And they ask respectfully. This right here. So I love giving the messages that you're talking about. The channeling part is wonderful when you see those women as authors show up in capes and they throw, I don't know for you, but they used to throw their books at my head and be like, here, tell them about this.
No.
And that's great. But the channeled messages here, you go do what you want with these messages. And that's beautiful because that's your autonomy, right? So we see these clients leave the room on a high, really excited about the new tools that the spirit world just offered them. And that's amazing. Then when the session ends, everyone exits the Zoom room, the high dies down.
Yeah.
And maybe some of them read the books. Too many of them read it cover to cover within 48 hours.
Yeah.
And have not a fucking clue how to implement. Or they read it and they don't implement at all because they choose not to. Or they implement in all the wrong ways because they didn't know how to interpret it, because knowledge with context is very difficult, or without context is very difficult. And so I got into coaching because I wanted to be able to say, I'm going to hold you accountable to implementing what you just learned in that book. You're going to come back with your homework done, or there's going to be consequences.
Well, can I also add too, Kelly, because I've heard while standing, straightening my hair in the bathroom and brushing my teeth, because it's on the other side of your wall. I've heard snippets, like, you know, for 5 or 10 seconds where I've heard you actually give them the tools. And I've heard you break down the tools into manageable pieces. And I've also heard you give them the scripts.
Yes.
Where people will say, but I don't know how to say that to my boss. Well, I don't know how to say that to my husband. I don't know how to word that with my 5-year-old. I've heard you wait and give me another minute. I've heard you give it in your sessions, in your coaching sessions, and I've heard it every single week in the lives that we do in book club that we offer over patreon.com. So I know that you offer that and we offer that in many different areas, including Sips of Sanity on Patreon. So all of that is broken down in your coaching and in several other ways where we provide that to people. Okay, thank you for saying that. Did you want to add anything else before I get back to
it? Yeah, because even like the books have scripts. these authors were amazing. They didn't just write nice theories. They actually put fucking workbooks inside the book itself with scripts that you can use. And what I find is so many clients of channeling or coaching will read it and sit there and go, that's amazing, but I can't say that to my mom. And they're above all of the tools. That's amazing, but I can't say that to my dad, right? And it's like, I'm sitting there saying, I'm going to challenge your belief system because the author can't do it as you're reading their work. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say, you can, and you're gonna, right? And so this kind of guideline in terms of how they're expected to now operate, which is the accountability, provides this safety for them to actually implement change, have a hand holding them as they do it. And then we get to debrief to say, it went well, it didn't, shit hit the fan, how do I go forward, right? And they've got the how question being answered.
Yeah, and I'll go on to say too, because you've done it to me in the past week in my own personal life, where it was necessary for me to establish and set some boundaries with some people, and where I thought I was doing a good job and I wasn't. And then where you challenged me and corrected me, and even just in slight words, that allowed me that when I was in another correction with somebody one day, I caught myself and I went, oh, whoa, and I corrected it and I changed just even a word in a sentence. And the person looked at me and went, oh, and they got it. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh my God, that's the power of changing just even one single word in your sentence. Mm-hmm. And how the person understands it completely differently. And from that, actions are different. Mm-hmm. So I got that live. I got that in real time just in the past week of my life.
And I'll say this, we all get it in real time. We're just not aware of how we disintegrated the conversation.
Yes.
And all of a sudden we're like, I don't even understand how we're arguing right now.
Yeah.
And you don't recognize it's because of one word that you use that changed the entire context of everything.
Yes.
And that's not to point fingers and place blame. It's to say, when you understand the tools that are being offered in these sessions and how it's broken down into something as simple as one word, right? Mm-hmm. The importance of language. You've actually got more insight, more to the tools, plus the accountability.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Back
to
you.
Okay. So back to Rom. So Rom sits in front of me and she says, okay, I think my head's blown up. And she says, and I'm just going to say something. Damn good thing. She says, because I think nobody could probably recognize the head that's been on these shoulders for the last couple of years. And she says, I have some serious apologizing to do. And she says, and the first person I have to go to is my parents. She goes, as much as I want to run to my husband right now, she says, I have to go to my mom and my dad. Because I've been with my husband for probably, you know, 20, including dating, 23 years. And she says, but this is with my parents for, you know, over four decades. Mm-hmm. And she says, I have got to go up to my parents and tell them that I am remembering what they've taught me. She says, because they have to be sitting there wondering what the hell has happened that I have forgotten it. Mm-hmm. And she says, but I know how I forgot it. It's called grooming. Mm-hmm. And she says, they forewarned me for two decades that I would be groomed by corporate, by government, by religion, by friends, by business, by TV, by, like, society was going to groom me. Social media is grooming me. She says, I'm understanding. She says, and I forgot to keep my eyes open, my awareness there about all of the ways we are groomed. She says, it's exhausting, Karen. And I said, yes, I said, it is exhausting, but without doing it moment to moment, we truly do lose our connection to ourselves, our logic, our humanity, our intuition, our empathy, mm-hmm. our compassion, our toolkit. I could go on about the cost of what we lose if we don't bother making the effort in the moment. And when we make the effort in the moment, we get to keep all of the virtues. We get to keep our integrity, our intuition, our connection, our empathy to each other, which makes us so strong that the people that want to groom us lose their power. Mm-hmm. Over. Mm-hmm. And so Rom just sat there and went, okay, I got this.
Their power over us. Just for context. That was a weird spot for a breath.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
That's great. I wanted to say too, like, this is a personal example, but like, no, I'll just leave it general. I am being challenged in my relationship in particular to come outside of grooming that I've never questioned. That's never actually been something in my mind that's another option. Mm-hmm. And I can feel my anger, which is really just my discomfort and my fear, where my belief systems are being challenged. And I'm like, why is this necessary? It seems so minor. It seems so minuscule. And then you see the bigger picture and it's like, oh, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I want to point that out because for a lot of us, you know, I'm going to use the example, actually. Let's do this and you can cut it out if you want to. Wearing bras. This is something I know it's really personal, but we as women are taught from the time that you don't even have breasts to get into a training bra. Mm-hmm. And so we're purchasing products already. We're into consumerism, right? Mm-hmm. Because we've been sold the idea.
Well, they got to get you then.
We've been sold the idea that something is not right about your natural body.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to wear this thing for your entire fucking life.
Yes.
So now you're a consumer for life.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you need to alter the way that you look. Regardless of what shape they are, by the way, you have to alter the way that they look. They're never going to be enough. They need to be in a bra.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she was just like, why are you wearing one? Like, you of all people, you don't even have gravity against you. And I was angry at the idea that she was encouraging me to not wear one. And I sat there and
there's your grooming.
There's the grooming.
There's
the conditioning. I'm angry at her.
Yes.
Where she is trying to help me love and accept my own body.
But you're mad.
And I'm
at
mad.
Her.
Yes.
Instead of the people that groomed you to believe there was something wrong with the body to begin with.
Yeah.
That is the intelligence of the grooming.
Yeah. And so now our conversations, because she could see me getting angry or she could see me getting stubborn and all of that. And I said to her, like, I'm mad at you for challenging this because I am more comfortable in a bra. And she's like, I know you are. I am trying to question why you are more comfortable in it. And I was like, I see what you are doing. And it was just like, I need to take a pause from the conversation. And I said, I'm going to wear a bra today.
Yeah.
This isn't me defying you. This is me just, I need to be comfortable to move through my day. I'm going to take your challenge and your question and really sit and consider the grooming. And this is a journey I now have to go on. You've started it, but I have to go on it. Right. And so, like, I think that's really important because, you know, Rom entered the corporate world in her 20s. Now, having groomed her whole life in different ways, but this wasn't something that she never questioned. This was something that was brought in later in life that maybe was a little bit easier to see and understand where the grooming began versus something that you just never question your entire life, right? Maybe why short hair is not something girls do or long hair is something boys don't do, right? Where you start to sit there and go, wait a sec, who says? And why did they say? And who's benefiting from saying, right? Like, I love that you've brought this topic to Coffee with the Sarlos.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think people, well, you can have a field day now thinking about what else we've been groomed to understand.
Oh, if anybody's on our Patreon website following us with our Sips of Sanity and all of the series, they're going to get a lot more about grooming because we are going to be, I just do creative content. We're going to be attacking.
Dismissing, by the way. If you're keeping up on the forms of verbal abuse, she just dismissed herself. I just do creative content.
I want it to be inclusive of you
She's
as well.
She's the content creator.
Yes. I'm going to be attacking grooming in every facet of life. And all we're trying to do is challenge what we've been groomed to believe so that we can question that. And then we get to make different decisions as to who we want to be and how we want to think about ourselves in singlehood or whatever, or corporate or government or like all of these different things, right? Because we get to say to ourselves, hey, Rom can leave this session and go, I still want to be in corporate. I still want to be the owner or the boss. I still want this, but I don't necessarily want to be in it in this particular company with these ethics and the way that they do it, with their lack of morals and virtues. And maybe Rom says, I'm going to go out and I'm going to start my own company and do something similar and give them competition, but give people who want a healthier place to work in a different environment a place to be. So, and I think we need that. I think this mm-hmm. whole thing about how we've been groomed needs to be challenged on every level, including education and teachers listening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we have to look at it in every single facet.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Well, I'm not wearing a bra. And I hope everyone has a beautiful day. Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.